22nd May 1893. Question on the divinity of the Messiah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu ala Rasulihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. After this, let it be known that according to the regulations settled upon in a separate document dated 24th April 1893, we had suggested that the first question we would ask Mr. Abdullah Atham would be regarding the divinity of the Messiah, peace be upon him. Therefore, in compliance with this very condition, the question is written below. Let it be known that in this debate, it will be highly essential that whatever question may be asked from our side, or whatever may be an answer from the side of Deputy Abdullah Atham, none of it should be from one's self. Rather, it should be, number one, referenced from one's own revealed book, which the other party accepts as a proof. Similarly, number two, every single argument, and number three, every single claim that is presented should be done abiding assiduously with this. In short, no party should go outside the contents of that book of his, the citation of which can serve as an argument against him. After this, let it be known that these verses are found in the Noble Quran regarding the divinity of the Messiah, peace be upon him. Rejecting the views of those gentlemen who hold the belief regarding the aforementioned Holy One that he is God or the Son of God. مَلْ مَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولُ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةُ كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامُ انظر كيف نبين لهم الآيات ثم انظر أنا يؤفكون. Meaning that essentially the Messiah, son of Mary, was no more than just a messenger, and before him too, indeed, only messengers have been coming. And the statement that before him too, indeed, only messengers have been coming, is an extremely fine argument by way of inductive reasoning. Because of all the forms of reasoning, inductive reasoning occupies the lofty station that if its conclusive and decisive status were to be disregarded or ignored, the entire spiritual and worldly design would collapse. If we diligently observe, we will discover that the evidence of a large part of the world and of the events in times past occurred through the means of this very inductive method. For example, we currently say that man eats with his mouth, sees with his eyes, hears with his ears, smells with his nose, and speaks with his tongue. If someone presents some holy book in which it is written that these occurrences did not happen in the past, rather, in earlier ages, man used to eat with his eyes and speak through his ears, and that he used to see through the nose and similarly change other things. Or, for example, it should be said that in some bygone age, man did not possess two eyes, but rather had 20, 10 of which were on the front of his face and 10 on the back. So now the audience can ponder that even if we accept for the sake of argument that the one who penned these strange lines was some holy and righteous man, yet how can we move away from this categorical conclusion that has originated through inductive reasoning? In my opinion, not only one, but even if 1 million more such holy men were to try to sever the categorical and decisive conclusions deduced by inductive reasoning, they would not be able to break them. But if we are just and love for the truth is our habit, and if we truly consider this person to be a revered person, and yet we find in his writings such words as are contrary to observed and experienced truths, then for the sake of his reverence, we would ignore the apparent meaning of his words and try and find an interpretation, by resorting to which the honor of the revered personage may remain intact. It would, however, never be the case that those truths that have been proven to be certain and decisive through inductive reasoning could be averted based upon a single narration. If someone thinks on these lines, then the burden of proof lies upon him to provide some facts supporting and verifying such a narration that goes against the present decisive and conclusive inductive proofs. For example, the person who debates and argues and disputes saying that, "Sir, certainly in previous ages people used to see with the tongue and used to talk with the nose," such a one should present proof of this. Until such time that such proof is not presented, it is very far indeed from the dignity of a civilized, intelligent man that relying on such writings, which, even if they are taken to have been accurately conveyed, could have scores of interpretations, he should adopt those meanings which are opposed and repugnant to proven truths. If, for example, it is stated to a doctor that arsenic and the poison that is prepared from bitter almonds, etc., are not poisonous, and that even if many pounds in weight of these are given to children to eat, no harm will come to them, and, by way of proof, he is told that this is what is written in such and such holy book, and that the narrators from whom this material has reached us are reliable, would that doctor, out of regard for that holy book, abandon such a fact that has been proven by inductive reasoning? In short, since inductive reasoning occupies the status of the highest order in establishing truth in the world, Allah, the Lord of Glory, has mentioned inductive reasoning at the very start, stating, "Qad khalat min qablihi ar-rusul," meaning that the Messiah, peace be upon him, was undoubtedly a prophet and a beloved messenger of Allah, the Lord of Glory, but he was a human being. Open your eyes and see that always and eternally, ever since the system of conveying the message of Allah and revealing the divine word began, only human beings have been coming into the world upon being bestowed the status of messenger of Allah. Or has it ever been the case that a son of Allah, the Exalted, also came? And the word khalat, passed away, draws attention towards this, that acquiring knowledge about the state of affairs of the people of the past by looking as far back as possible into the historic record, one should ponder well and try to understand whether this system has ever broken. Can one present any such occurrence by which it may be proven that this phenomenon is even within the realm of possibilities? That before also, every now and then, this indeed used to happen? So a wise man should pause here for a moment and, being fearful of Allah, the Lord of Glory, reflect within his heart that the system of events and occurrences demands its precedent be found sometime in some era. Sure, if we ascribe a literal interpretation to all those prophets and virtuous ones of the Bible, regarding whom the Bible also contains words saying that they were the sons of God Almighty, or that they were gods, then we would undoubtedly be forced to admit in such circumstances that it is the practice of God Almighty that he sends his sons as well. Nay, rather, sons aside, sometimes even daughters. And, prima facie, this appears to be an excellent argument, should the honorable Christian gentleman be pleased to assert it. And no one could even refute it, since there is no mention there whatsoever of being real or metaphoric sons. Rather, some are even referred to as the firstborn. Yes, of course, in this scenario, the total number of sons would increase significantly. In short, Allah, the Lord of Glory, has first of all indeed presented an inductive argument for the refutation of divinity of the Messiah. Then, after this, God Almighty presents another argument, وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةً, meaning that the mother of the Messiah was a truthful woman. It is of course obvious that if the Messiah is assumed to be the literal son of Allah, the Lord of Glory, then it necessarily follows that for his birth, he should not, like other people, depend upon such a mother, who, as is agreed by both parties, was a human being. Since it is patently obvious and widely known that the law of nature of Allah, the Lord of Glory, is so constituted that the offspring of every living being is of the same species as itself. For example, look at all the different types of animals, like humans and horses and donkeys, and every type of bird. They all come into being, each according to its kind. It does not happen that a human is born from a bird or a bird comes from the womb of a human. Then, this is presented as a third argument, kana ya'kulani ta'am, meaning that both of them, the Messiah and his ever-truthful mother, used to eat food. Now, you can all understand why a human being eats food and why he is in need of eating food. The real secret in this is that there is a process of dissolution, constantly transpiring within the body of a human being, so much so that, as proven by ancient and modern research, in a matter of a few years upon dissolution, the earlier body disappears and another body comes into being to take its place. And every type of food that is eaten also affects the soul, because this is also an established truth that sometimes the soul affects the body and sometimes the body puts its impress upon the soul. For example, if the soul of a person suddenly experiences some joy, then the signs of this happiness, that is to say, cheerfulness and vivacity, make their appearance on the face of the person. And sometimes the effects of the body, as in smiling or crying, make their impress upon the soul. Now, this being the case, how far from the status of Godhead is this that the body of Allah Himself too should always be in a state of decay and be replaced with another in a matter of every 3 or 4 years? Quite apart from all this, the very need to eat is contrary to the meaning manifestly attached to the very being of God Almighty. Now, it is clear that the Messiah was not free of the needs that are attached to all human beings. So again, this is an excellent argument that despite these pains and sufferings, he was nevertheless God or the Son of God, and we have used the word pain because hunger is also a sort of pain. And if it becomes excessive, it can lead even to death. Signature, English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President, representing Muslims. Signature, English, Henry Martin Clark, President, representing Christians.